Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2094 with a release date of Friday, December 15th, 2017 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams respond to the California wildfires. A group of Jewish radio operators make a wish at Hanukkah. And in Illinois, a terminally ill ham gets the gift of a lifetime. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2094 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's only independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We open this week's newscast with a report about Amateur Radio's response to the California wildfires. As Amateur Radio Newsline went to production, firefighters were still struggling to contain the massive Thomas Fire in Southern California, where residents were being evacuated. As more evacuations were being planned on account of winds spreading the blaze, the need for ham assistance remained an open situation, especially in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Hams were actively supporting shelter communications and staffing at least 4 evacuation centers. Amateur Radio Newsline will continue to follow this story, and updates will be posted on our Facebook page and on Twitter. In other extremes of weather, hams stepped up recently to the challenge of major snow in the American South, as we hear from Stephen Kinford in 8WB.
The weather system that dumped the earliest snow that portions of Alabama have had in 54 years may have defied all reliable and trusted weather models, but it was no match for amateur radio. The December 8th snowfall surprised broadcast meteorologists and many at the National Weather Service, but hams had already gone down to helping the Alabama Emergency Management Agency pass along traffic from their various posts at EOC stations around the state. Ham staffing WA4EMA in Tuscaloosa County passed traffic to ARES members in the field across western Alabama throughout the day. One of the state's primary Skywarn repeaters, the regional 2-meter station W4CUE in Birmingham, passed along the reports that went to the Birmingham National Weather Service. In the east, WB4GNA, Alabama's highest 2-meter repeater at Cheeha Mountain, got reports from the east and west, and even from Georgia. The Alabama State ARES Net frequencies were also buzzing, especially into Saturday as the snowfall was being tallied up. By Sunday, the city of Jacksonville, Alabama, had the distinction of the highest snowfall recorded, 12 inches in Alabama. Jacksonville is located just west of the Georgia border. The rare snowfall turned out to be tough sledding for many in Alabama, except, of course, the hams. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
If your travels have you thinking of operating mobile from Canada's province of New Brunswick, Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has this cautionary tale.
Since 1952, Canadian and American amateur radio licensees have been able to operate in each other's countries. But the language of a recently passed distracted driving law in the province of New Brunswick allows mobile radio operation to only licensed Canadian hams. Newsline spoke with George Dewar, VY2GF, who lives in the neighboring province, Prince Edward Island.
I think the American amateurs should know that if they come to New Brunswick and use a microphone here, that they could be held in violation of the Highway Traffic Act. New Brunswick was the only one that came up with this business of that you couldn't use a microphone in a car. There were certain exceptions to that, like a CB in a semi-trailer was okay. You could use it for commercial purposes.
Dewar points out driving regulations are not set by the Canadian federal government and can vary from province to province.
I think somebody would be doing a great service if they could draw up a matrix of Canadian provinces and what the rules are and how you might be caught in them.
Dewar hopes a ham organization might be able to influence, perhaps, the New Brunswick Tourism Ministry.
The third biggest industry here in Prince Edward Island is tourism. If the Minister of Tourism in New Brunswick got wind of, say, the ARRL putting out a press release saying that 750,000 licensed amateurs in the United States should avoid New Brunswick, he or she would get the message.
And Dewar shared with me his opinion of the new regulation.
The legislation was ill-conceived. What they did was they declared the amateurs who have a long history of public service to be idiots. And as far as I'm concerned, only an idiot texts while driving.
Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Wish fulfillment holds a special place in everyone's heart at this time of year. For one terminally ill amateur radio operator, the fulfillment of a wish to get on the air one more time meant everything. As we hear from Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Spending time listening to certain parts of 20, 40, and 80 meters often makes you wonder about our hobby. But then something happens that reminds you why a lot of us got into amateur radio in the first place. The story of John Nugent, WA2EQJ, will hopefully restore your faith in your fellow hams. I spoke with Chris Brown, NY9X of the Lake County, Illinois Racies organization, about how granting a dying Vietnam veteran a final wish came to happen.
John is at the Federal Health Center over here at Great Lakes and has cancer and apparently does not have much time left. He had talked to his caseworker about his being a ham radio operator, his love for the hobby. He's been a ham for most of his life. He had a wish of getting on the air one more time. And so the caseworker started asking around as to how we could try to get this done. Is there anybody that would be willing to help?
They finally got in touch with the hams at Racies, who quickly came up with a plan to make that possible.
Our guys went over and set up a wire antenna outside on the grounds of the hospital and ran the coax in the front door and had a table there, and they brought him down, and we had a radio that was there, and he loves his Yaesu, so they brought that down and just set it on the table next to him.
Brown next went looking for possible contacts.
I just went down the band. I went down 20 meters, and there was a QSO just wrapping up, and there was a guy from California, and I broke in and said, hey, is there any chance you could do me a favor and come up the band? I explained what was going on, that we were Lake County Racies, and before I knew it, he was already up there, and he was almost like net control for 10, 15 minutes with John.
The afternoon was a success, and it created a definite bright spot in the final days of the long life of one ham.
His son was on the air, too, and just thanked everybody. He said the expression on John's face was, you know, fantastic with what he could do.
Hams helping another ham in time of need. That, at the core, is what this hobby is about. All of us here at Amateur Radio Newsline will keep John Nugent and his family in our thoughts as he nears the end of his journey. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
It's said that there's nothing new under the sun, or even inside the sun, as Mike Askins, KE5CXP, tells us.
Sunspot patterns, it seems, have been a human obsession for at least 200 years. At least that's what can be believed from a recent discovery made in the state of Maine. A report that appears on space.com tells of a journal found inside a small house in that New England state with pages containing writings from some 200 years ago. The subject? Sunspots. The journal's contents are in an academic paper co-authored recently by solar scientist William Denig of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and historian Michael McVaugh of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The 19th century devoted sun watcher was a Congregational minister named Jonathan Fisher. The clergyman had at one time practiced a more scientific look at the heavens as a math and science student at Harvard University in the late 18th century. When he graduated, however, he took up the clerical cloth. Still, he never forgot his lessons in science, and when the Northern Hemisphere experienced what historians recall as a year without a summer in 1816, the Reverend kept meticulous drawings of his observations in those now faded pages. Clearly, we have more advanced ways of tracking sunspots now, but it's a comfort to know that we hams aren't the only ones who have a tradition of keeping a watchful and sometimes nervous eye on the sky. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N5 OZG repeater in New Orleans, Louisiana, Sundays at 8 p.m. A group of Jewish amateur radio operators has big hopes for reviving a very old and very beloved net. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, tells us more.
The Jewish holiday known as Hanukkah is about miracles, and one group of amateurs is hoping for a miracle, or at least an unexpected opportunity, to restart a beloved net begun long ago that linked Jewish amateurs across the miles.
The organization was called Chavarim, and it's for Jewish hams, as we call ourselves, the kosher hams. The organization existed for many years, about 3 or 4 years ago, because many of the members were getting old. The organization was more or less dissolved, though we did continue the Nets.
That was Bob Schoenfeld, WA2AQQ. With only one chapter left and with original members growing older, a Facebook group tried to resurrect more at one point. Bob has another suggestion, too.
We've been trying to get younger members. If they want to, if anybody's interested, when they hear this, they can contact me at my call, whiskeyalpha2alphaquebeccabet@awrl.net, and I will get in touch with them, and we can arrange, you know, for either meeting, Bible meetings or Bible QSOs or whatever. And if things are looking good, I can even arrange, since I don't have any equipment over here, except that I can get on Echo League with my tablet or my cell phone. Might be able to arrange an Echo League net to start again.
Again, if you have an interest in reviving this net for kosher hams, contact Bob at WA2AQQ@ARRL.net. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Radio Scout activations are fairly quiet this week, but there's still Jamboree news. Here's Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
This week in Radio Scouting, it's quiet on the activation front as the winter holiday season sets in. However, we have our final report out for JOTA 2017. We're looking towards JOTA 2018, and we talk about a new call sign becoming active. Jamboree on the Air 2017 numbers are in for the U.S., and activity was down from 2016, but they are right in line with 2014 and 2015. 7,872 scouts, 4,753 visitors, and 958 amateur radio operators making 7,177 recorded contacts made up the U.S. reportable numbers for this year. The feedback and comments received will go a long way into improving the guides we have for leaders and the advice we can pass on to future activators for making your event a success. With 2017 in the can, we have 10 months to prepare for JOTA 2018. It's time to take stock in what worked and what didn't. I, for one, will have to think about planning for the wind in my 2018 activation. We were being hit by 25 to 40 mile per hour winds at the park we had our event, causing some of our equipment to go airborne. What changes are you going to implement in your 2018 plan? Now is the time to start that planning. A few people have started following some of the early chatter from the NA1WJ_Scouting Twitter account. NA1WJ, or North America One World Jamboree, is the currently planned call sign and source of information on the radio scouting activation at the 2019 World Jamboree, being held at the Summit in West Virginia. World Jamboree is held every 4 years at locations around the globe, and this time it has landed in North America. Please follow NA1WJ and the K2BSA on this journey to make the World Jamboree a spotlight event for scouting, STEM, and amateur radio. For more information on radio scouting, please visit our website at www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
It looks like hams in Germany won't be seeing a new entry-level license anytime soon, as we hear from Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Hopeful radio enthusiasts who were counting on the introduction of a new entry-level amateur radio license in Germany are going to have to wait a little longer. In fact, they're going to have to wait indefinitely. The license won't be happening, despite the fact that recent reports from Germany show that licensing is on the decline in that nation. Statistics show Germany having a peak of 80,000 licensed amateurs in 2002. By 2015, the number of license holders had slipped to 67,349. In recent years, the Deutsche Amateur Radio Club, or DARC, has been promoting amateur radio among young people and has been offering a free online training course. Figures show an increase in 2015 in the number of applicants taking license exams, but, for now, there will be no new entry-level category for radio operators. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
If this time of year has you believing in reindeer that fly and a bearded ham in a big red suit, you may want to hear this report from John Williams, VK4JJW.
Where does Santa Claus stop to refuel on his journeys? If you said Eastern Europe, that correct response would land you squarely on his nice list. A special event station in Romania featuring Santa and his elves is on the bands all month with the call signs YP2XMAS through YP9XMAS as well as YP0XMAS. The event is being sponsored by the Romanian Radio Club Association, which will also send QSL cards along with awards that are delivered electronically to any station working at least three different YPXMAS call signs. Soren YO2MSB will be among those to reprise the role of Santa. And yes, he'll have his elves with him. Join the pile-up and your name will be entered in this year's Yule Log. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
In the world of DX, be listening for lots of signals coming from Vietnam. Dirk, DF2XG, is active as 3W9XG from Haiphong, where he's working as a project manager for an industrial venture. Listen for him on 40 through 10 meters. He'll be running 20 watts on operating CW. For QSL information, visit QRZ.com. Also in Vietnam is John, KB4FB, who will be operating as 3W9FB from Da Nang sometime in early January. He'll then move on to Laos and operate as XW4FB before returning to Vietnam in February. He'll be on a number of different HF bands throughout. Send QSLs via Logbook of the World. QSOs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World in March 2018. And in the Gambia, Premislav, SP3PS will be active as C5-SP3PS between the 30th of December and the 12th of January. Listen for him on 40, 20, and 10 meters and QSLs via his home call sign. Finally, we hope you enjoyed the holiday gift Amateur Radio Newsline gave you last year at this time because, well, we're giving you the same gift again this year as we close this week's newscast. It's the popular amateur radio interpretation of a Clement Moore classic, and we promise to deliver with no QRM. Here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the shack, the rig was turned off and the mic cord lay slack. The antenna rotor had made its last turn. The tubes in the linear had long ceased to burn. I sat there relaxing and took off my specs, preparing to daydream of armchair DX. When suddenly, outside, I heard such a sound, I dashed out the door to see what was around. The moon shone down brightly and lighted the night. For sure, propagation for the low bands was right. I peered toward the roof where I heard all the racket, and there was some guy in a red fur-trimmed jacket. I stood there, perplexed, in a manner quite giddy. Just who was this stranger? Did it? He looked very much like an FCC guy who'd come to check up on some bad TVI. I shouted to him, "Oh man, QRZ! Hey, you by the chimney all dressed up in red!" I suddenly knew when I heard sleigh bells jingle, the guy on the rooftop was Jolly Kris Kringle. He had a big sack full of amateur gear, which was a big load for his prancing reindeer, transmitters, receivers for cabinets and racks, some meters and scopes, and a lot of coax. He said not a word, 'cause he'd finished his work. He picked up his sack and he turned with a jerk. As he leaped to his sleigh, he shouted with glee, and I knew in a moment he'd be QRT. I heard him transmit as he flew o'er the trees, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all 73! Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW.
Thanks, Jim, and Merry Christmas. And with thanks to Allen Labs, Bobby Best, WX4ALA, The Capital Gazette, CQ Magazine, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Mark Bova, W2PAW, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, the Romanian Radio Club Association, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Space.com, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, the Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017. All rights are reserved.